The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Have Gentile Christians replaced the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and the calling and plan and purpose of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to this special and important broadcast here on The Line of Fire. I will not be taking calls today. This is one of these content immersion shows where we are going to dig as deep as we can into the Word today to separate fact from fiction. We often talk about replacement theology or supersessionism. Replacement theology, the idea that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan of salvation or being a blessing to the world, or that the church has superseded Israel, hence replacement theology, supersessionism. Many would push back and say, we don't believe in that at all. We believe in fulfillment theology, that the purposes of God for Israel culminate in Jesus Yeshua. So both Jew and Gentile in Jesus Yeshua accomplish God's plan and purpose, which has always been the same and has never changed. But outside of Jesus, there are no national purposes or plans for the Jewish people as a people. They could all be saved through Jesus. Many believe there'll be a national turning at the end of the age of Jewish people to Jesus. However, they would say, when it comes to the nation of Israel, the people of Israel as a whole, as a people, there are not ongoing divine purposes and plans for them. Israel today, the modern state of Israel, has no connection to biblical prophecies about ancient Israel or connection to the land. That would be the position. So they'd say it's not replacement theology, it's fulfillment theology. My response, with all appreciation to everything centering on Jesus and everything being fulfilled through him, is that the Word plainly says, and we'll look at some of these scriptures, that he doesn't cancel the promises to the patriarchs, he confirms them, and that the promises God gave to ancient Israel still have a future fulfillment in this world and eternally. It has nothing to do with ethnic supremacy, it has nothing to do with being a respecter of persons. It has to do with the integrity of God, the character of God, and the fact that he is not a liar, that he keeps his word. Others would say, Dr. Brown, you're missing the whole point. And this was brilliantly argued in an informal debate. It was an interaction with Dr. Gary DeMar a few years ago. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Just search for Brown and then DeMar, D-E-M-A-R. We've had a couple of interchanges over the years, respectful as always. But he brilliantly argued this when we had our interaction in a kind of a debate, but more of an informal back and forth interaction. He said this whole idea of the church replacing Israel, and I'll use my words, he would say, again, in my words, it's kind of semantic nonsense. He would argue this, that you have the ecclesia in the Old Testament. So that's the Greek word, but the Hebrew word would have been the kahal or the edah, the congregation of Israel. So when God would say to Moses, gather the entire congregation of Israel, the kahal or the edah, in many cases, the Septuagint, the Greek translation would say, gather the ecclesia. So he would say, well, you keep reading from that. You have the Old Testament ecclesia, which is the people of God, largely ethnic Israelites with Gentiles like Ruth and Rahab and others joined in. All right. And then into the New Testament, it's still called the ecclesia. So if it was in Hebrew, it'd be the kahal or an equivalent in Aramaic. And that is now the same ecclesia, but instead of mainly being ethnic Israel plus some Gentile God-fearers that were joined in, now it's a smaller remnant of Jewish believers, largely Gentile believers, but it's not a new entity called the church. It's the same ecclesia as always. So to say, has the church replaced Israel? If I was paraphrasing Gary DeMar's argument or making it myself, I would say, has the congregation replaced the congregation? Has the kahal replaced the kahal? Has the ecclesia replaced the ecclesia? And some of you hold to these very arguments. These would be your very viewpoints. So I could dig down into that and say the kahal, the ecclesia, the congregation of God had a particular meaning in the Old Testament, and that meaning has shifted in the New Testament. But let's not even go there now. Let me ask the question I asked and posed at the beginning of the broadcast. Have Gentile Christians taken the place of national Israel in terms of the plan and purposes of God? Now, a few things that will often be told by those who hold to one aspect or another of replacement theology. Now, in my view, this may offend you, but in my view, if in the end, no matter how you get there, fulfillment theology or the argument that Dr. DeMar would put forward or others, no matter how you get there, if in the end, a promise in the Old Testament that was directed to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who had joined with them in the worship of Yahweh, the God of Israel, but to those, in particular, those physical descendants, if those promises no longer apply directly to them, but are applied to the larger ecclesia, the larger church as a whole, that's replacement theology. One way or another, one group has been replaced by another. You say, no, it has expanded. Okay, then I ask this. The ones that God said, I will scatter in my judgment, who were they? That was the nation of Israel. I will regather them in my mercy. Who is that? Well, that's the larger church. Then there's replacement. It's replacement now. Because the ones he scattered were in disobedience, under judgment. The ones he scattered were in sin. He's now going to regather the ones he scattered. You cannot, if you're going to say, as Dr. DeMar argued, with all respect to Dr. DeMar, he's not here, so I want to represent what he said fairly. When I asked him in our interaction, so when God said to the Jewish people, I'm going to scatter you in my anger and regather you in my mercy, you're saying it was a physical scattering and a spiritual regathering, and that was his position. That was his position. You listen to yourself to make sure I'm presenting it fairly, but I'm quite sure I am. So that to me is another form of replacement theology, blatantly, because the ones who are physically scattered are not physically regathered, even though without possible question. That's what everyone understood when the word was spoken. That's what the prophets hoped for and longed for. That's what Jewish people praying over those very scriptures daily are expecting, because that's what it says. That's what it says. And throughout the scriptures, and there's a conclusion I came to doing my doctoral research on the Hebrew root Rapha for my PhD, is that the healing has to be just as literal as the smiting, right? If God says, I am going to make you bankrupt because of your sin and your greed, but then I will make you prosperous in the future, and the money I've taken from you I'll now give back because it's going to be used for good purposes, that's literal. I'll smite you with this disease, but I'll heal you and make you whole. Well, if the one is literal, the other is spiritual. It's double talk. It's double talk. Others go even further, and they say this: God scatters Israel in judgment. That's the Jewish people, disobedient, rejected Moses, the prophets, the Messiah, scattered around the world in judgment. I will regather you in mercy. That's the church as a whole. That's all believers through Jesus. That's spiritual double talk. That's God saying one thing out of his mouth, and then the other thing he said out of his mouth is double talk. That's the kind of stuff you can't depend on. That's the kind of stuff where you say, boy, I can't trust that source, because they said one thing, and now they changed the terms halfway through. So I have heard in recent days comments like this, that the true Jew is the believer in Jesus, that the true Jew is the one circumcised in heart. After all, Paul says the one that's a Jew is the one that's circumcised inside, not outside. I've also heard people say there are no Gentile Christians. There are Christians. They're followers of Jesus, and they are the true Jews, but they are not Gentiles anymore. So how about we let the word speak for itself? How about we let Paul speak for himself and see what he would make of some of these notions that are being attributed to him? Scripture, 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 scripture. If we're followers of Jesus, we recognize the Bible as God's word. That is our plumb line. What does the word say? So I'm going to start in Romans 2, and I'm going to be reading through. I've pulled out the Greek word for circumcised, circumcision, and now I'm going to look through Romans and see how it's used in text after text after text. Are you with me? Again, not taking calls today. We have so much content to cover. And with so much focus on Israel today, and with anti-Semitism rising even beyond what we've seen in recent decades, I have been documenting the rising tide of anti-Semitism for more than 30 years. So I'm not in the least bit surprised to see the madness taking place today. I'm not in the least bit surprised to witness it. I'm grieved. I'm hurt. I'm not surprised. But with this as such a focus, when we talk about any theological issues, all the junk comes rising to the surface. You say, Brown, are you telling me that Israel is not guilty of... Oh, Israel is another nation like other nations. Where Israel does wrong, we call Israel to account. Do I believe Israel operates at a higher standard than the surrounding neighbors in terms of life and equity and justice and morality? Yes, absolutely. But Israel's not perfect. I'm not defending Israel. Israel's not perfect. Where Israel's falsely accused, I'll set the record straight. Brown, are you saying that Jews have their own covenant? No. I've devoted more here. I guarantee you pretty well, I've devoted more time, energy, effort, prayer, work, labor, tears, interaction to sharing the good news of Jesus with my Jewish people, without whom there is no salvation. Outside of him, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness outside of the blood of the Messiah. I would dare say that more than any single person listening to me anywhere in the world now, I have devoted more time, energy, life, effort to winning Jewish people to Jesus, Yeshua, than anybody listening to me. And by the grace of God, I believe I have had more public debates with rabbis about Jesus being the Jewish Messiah, more public debates with rabbis than any living human being on the planet, and perhaps anyone in centuries. So I will give my blood to see my people come to know Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah and Lord, outside of whom there is no salvation. So please don't come up with some straw man argument that blinds your eyes to what I'm saying because of a false prejudicial comment. And let us together, as children of God and students of the Word, say, Lord, what does your Word say? And that's the only concern to me. I've had to change my theology over the years, over the decades, because the Word confronted me. And I could not argue with what was written. Therefore, rather than try to change the Scriptures to fit my theology, I changed my theology to fit the Scriptures. I challenge you to have the same heart, mind, attitude. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I want to introduce our Trivita Alfred Libby original patented sublingual B12, B6, and folate formula. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Alfred Libby, a pioneer in vitamin research. I also had the opportunity to obtain the patented formula, and the rest is history, with over 50 million tablets being taken by our Trivita members through the years. The amazing testimonies of mental clarity, mood enhancement, and more energy have been thrilling to me as a founder of Trivita Wellness. Not only is it an amazing B12 product, but it is loaded with the essential B6 vitamin. I call it the workhorse vitamin. It is vital for strong immune function and every body system. Here's what the National Center for Biotechnology Information says, and I quote, "It plays a key role and is crucial to immune function." It is a molecule necessary for the proper functioning of the entire body system, and its role cannot be overestimated. Harvard Medical School of Health says folate is the natural form of vitamin B9, and it plays a key role in breaking down homocysteine, an amino acid that can exert harmful effects on the body when it is present in high amounts. I encourage you today to try the Trivita Libby B12, B6, and folate formula.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
The Truth Network
presents Life 101, the basic rules for getting by and moving ahead in life.
There are thousands of financial books out there, yet overall our personal finances are in pretty bad shape. That proves one thing: the latest advice and the latest book on the newest financial twist is not really working. All the really good advice is really nothing new at all. In fact, some of the best financial advice goes back thousands of years. There's a simple but dramatic piece of advice in Proverbs 6 in the Bible. It says, "Go to the ant and consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food for the harvest." Now that is financial advice from the Bible that can turn your life around. Our consumer-driven society obsesses about ways to spend money, but the Bible says, like the ants, we should instead focus on ways to save money, a lesson we can learn from the ants. The point is, we don't need more financial advice. We simply need to apply the old-fashioned advice that's been around for years, or even millenniums. An aggressive, radical savings plan can utterly transform your family's finances. You are listening to The Truth Network.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, a quick question, because I am burning to reach as many people as I can with this message and get the truth out. The truth sets us free. And it is critical in this day and hour that we deliver people from error and that we get folks rightly aligned with God. I've got a simple, practical question for you. Do you use any wellness supplements, any health supplements? If so, may I strongly encourage you to switch over to a fine Christian company? May I strongly encourage you to switch over to a fine company putting out some of the best products on the earth, who have donated tens of thousands of dollars this year alone to help us reach more people. It goes right through to go right back out and touch others. So if you've not yet called Trivita, 800-771-5584, if you haven't done that, I encourage you to give them a call, or you can go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25 if you go there. Check out these products that will really enhance your health and your wellness. And then together, let's shake the nation with this message. We can do it. And here's a great way where we can partner together and you sow into yourself as well. All right, let's go to Romans and let's look at Scripture. Starting in Romans 2:25. Paul's been talking about those who have the law, but who don't follow it, versus Gentiles who don't have the law and do follow it. So the Jewish people in disobedience versus Gentiles who have the law written on their hearts and follow. Verse 25 of Romans 2. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is circumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will then his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? So he's talking spiritually here, right? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from God, from man, but from God. Now the word merely is inserted in the ESV, NIV, many translations, merely only, to convey what the Greek is saying. But let's say we leave it out as not literally there in the Greek. And you say, no. What Paul's saying is the real Jew, the real circumcised person, is the one on the inside. So he's not saying between two Jews. And that's how I would read it, between two Jews. Between two Jews, which one is the real Jew? The one circumcised only outwardly, or the one with a circumcised heart also? The one with a circumcised heart also. That's his answer. What if he meant, just in general, between a Gentile, God-fearing person and a Jew who doesn't fear God, who's the real Jew? It's the Gentile. Okay, let's say he was even making that spiritual point. Let's even say he was. Let's keep reading and see now for the rest of Romans. Let Paul speak for himself. He's making a particular point. Now, let him speak for himself when he uses the term circumcision. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Okay, he just made a spiritual point, but now he's going to continue to talk about this entity, the Jewish people, the circumcision. Romans 1:16, the gospel's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jew doesn't become a Greek, the Greek doesn't become a Jew. So the very next verse, Paul makes plain who and what he's talking about. What advantage has the Jew? What's the value of circumcision? He's saying there are literal Jewish people, and there is a literal circumcision, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, right? I just made a spiritual point. Now, let's get back to talking about the Jewish people and circumcision. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So he still sees these different categories, Jew and Gentile, circumcised and uncircumcised. He could even make a point in Philippians 4, we are the true circumcision, like all believers, spiritually speaking. But he fully recognizes that there remain these people, the Jews, the circumcised, and they get saved the same way as the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. Now we're going to come back a little later in the broadcast and go through every time in Romans that Paul talks about the Gentiles, the nations, and see if believers in Jesus are still called Gentiles. See if that is the case or whether they have become spiritual Israel and the new Jews. It's really important we get this right. It is really, really important we get this right. If we get it right, we'll understand what God's doing in the earth today with the Jewish people and why the war in Israel and all the controversy around Israel and God's ongoing promises for Israel and the Jewish people. If we get it wrong, we could be on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of God. It is that serious. Don't get mad at me. Just, do you agree, if you're a follower of Jesus, that we should align ourselves with the Word? All right. Romans chapter 4. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, starting in verse 9, or also for the uncircumcised? And it goes on about Abraham, right, that he was justified before he was circumcised. And then afterwards, circumcision is the seal of righteousness. So he's the father to all who believe without being circumcised and those who are circumcised. But he fully understands there is this people, the Jewish people, that remains called the circumcised. Now we jump all the way over to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. It says, for I tell you that Messiah Jesus, that Christ, became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. It's the same thing if we go through the word Jew. Paul never stops saying that there is a people that is called the Jew or Jewish. He never stops saying that. And he never stops saying that these people, the circumcised, have promises from God. In fact, he explicitly says that the Messiah comes to the circumcised, a servant to the circumcised, to confirm the promises of the patriarchs to them. God doesn't cancel them. He still gave promises. Let me say it as I've said it endlessly. We, as Jewish people, I'm just speaking as a Jew generically, outside of Messiah, Jews worldwide, we continue to exist explicitly and exclusively because of the will of God. If not for his will, we would have been destroyed many, many centuries ago. He who scattered is the one who is preserved. He who has preserved is the one who has brought us back to the land. I want to throw out a simple syllogism. I've done it for years without ever getting one good, solid response. When God blesses, no one can curse. When he curses, no one can bless. Right? When he opens the door, no one can shut it. When he shuts the door, no one can open it. When he smites, no one can heal. When he heals, no one can smite. When he scatters, no one can regather. When he regathers, no one can scatter. That's God. That's who he is. Well, he who scattered the Jewish people worldwide in judgment is the only one who can regather. The modern state of Israel could not have been regathered on its own. We have only been regathered because God regathered us just as he said in his word, explicitly, clearly, definitely, as he said in his word he would do. Why do we have to spiritualize it? Why is it such a threat? Please, somebody tell me, why is it such a threat that God has kept his hand on the Jews? Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way? Because you believe what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding. And we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear. Testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So we're asking a simple question today in this in-depth Getting into the Word session here on The Line of Fire. Have Gentile Christians replaced the people of Israel, the Jewish people, in the redemptive plan of God? We all understand that individual Jews can be saved like anyone else. We understand that there is no salvation for Jew or Gentile outside of Jesus, Yeshua. That's not in question. But I'm firmly convinced by Scripture that God has kept his hand on the Jewish people as a people. So those physically descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those like Ruth or Rahab who joined the people of Israel in their worship of the God of Israel, so that God has preserved us, even under discipline, even while scattered, that he has regathered us back to the land. There are others who say, no, no, when it says, I will scatter you in judgment, that's the Jewish people. I will regather you in mercy, that's the church. To me, that's a horrific misreading of Scripture and now twisting plain words to mean things that God never intended and the prophets never intended and the people hearing never would have imagined. It's one thing to get a spiritual application, as Paul often does, whereas God says about Israel, you're not my people, but you'll be my people again, like in Hosea, because of judgment. I'm rejecting you, but I'm taking you back. Paul then makes a spiritual application of that to the Gentiles who are not God's people, but will become God's people. But he emphatically throughout reaffirms God's promises to his own people, Israel after the flesh, as he calls them in 1 Corinthians 10. Israelites, as he refers to himself in Romans 11. But the idea is, no, now that Jesus has come, Gentile Christians, they are the true Jews, as well as Jews who believe in Jesus. They are the true Jews. The promises to physical national Israel no longer remain. And that the church, and in particular Gentile Christians, have now taken the place of Israel. So the promises once given to Israel now apply spiritually to the church. So we've been rebutting that just by Paul's language in Romans, going verse after verse after verse. Maybe he makes the point that a Gentile who follows the law, follows God and his law, is circumcised in heart, although I believe he's talking about a Jew that's circumcised in heart there at the end of Romans 2. One is only circumcised outwardly, the other circumcised outwardly and inwardly. But even if he's making the point that a Gentile who follows God's commandments and worships the God of Israel is circumcised in heart, when he goes back to talking about circumcision, the rest of Romans, every single time, he means the physical circumcision, the Jewish people, to whom the promises remain. And he says in Romans 15 that the Messiah confirms those promises to the circumcision. All right, what about the term Jew in Romans? Because the other term, the other claim is that Gentile no longer refers to Christians anymore. Once you're a Christian, you're no longer a Gentile. So that a Jew is no longer a Jew. A Jew is one who follows Jesus. A Gentile is no longer a Gentile. If you're a Christian, you're no longer a Gentile. Those break down 100% as false when we just keep reading Scripture. So I'm just going to go through every reference to Jew in Romans. This is the word. What is the word? What does the word say? I'm captive to the word. Romans 1:16 says this, well-known verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there still is this category in the world of someone called a Jew in God's sight. Romans chapter 2, verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. So there is still in God's sight this distinction between Jew and Gentile in the earth today. Romans 2:17, if you call yourself a Jew, rely on the law and boast in God. So he's now going to rebuke some of his hypocritical fellow Jews. Yeah, you say one thing, but you don't keep it. And then we saw the end of Romans 2, where he says, for one is a Jew, no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. Circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. I understand that. Many commentators understand that to mean between two Jews, who's the real Jew? The one merely circumcised outwardly or the one circumcised outwardly and inwardly? Who's the real Jew in God's sight? And similar concepts come up in the Old Testament that the one that's a real God-fearer, real Israelite in the Old Testament is the one circumcised in heart, not just in body. But it's making a spiritual point. It's not for a split second saying that there's not an actual category called Jew and an actual people, the circumcision. So how do we know? The very next verse, as I said earlier in the broadcast, Romans 3:1. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? So now, having made a spiritual point, he's going to go back to talking about the physical Jewish people, whom God still looks at in his particular way because he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we've already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. So he's referring to himself here as a Jew, because he still is after the flesh. Romans 3:29, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. So here, he's making this clear distinction between Jew and Gentile, and saying that God is the God of all, and through Jesus all can be saved, because all have fallen short and come under sin. But there's still those people called Jews. And God sees them in a particular way. That's why we remain alive today. That's why we've been regathered from the nations. God did it. That's why the worldwide irrational outcry of Jew hatred around the world, and within hours of the atrocities committed in Israel on October 7th, pro-Hamas sentiments and then pro-Hamas rallies. Madness, but understandable, because as we said earlier in the week, the Jewish people and the people of Israel are God's sifting tool, bringing to the surface what's really in people's hearts. Romans 9:24. So Paul's already said in Romans 9:6, not all Israel is Israel. In other words, there's a remnant with Israel. He's within Israel. He's not calling the church as a whole Israel. He never does. He's not saying that. He is saying that within the nation of Israel, there is a remnant that believes. That's the Israel within Israel. And then the rest of Romans 9, 10, and 11, which is the only time in the whole book he uses the term Israel, amazingly enough, in Romans, that he's now going to talk about the nation, the nation, the nation. Hey, there's a remnant within the nation, the Israel within Israel. That's the Israel that receives the promises. But the promises of redemption right now through the Messiah. But let me talk to you about Israel as a whole, the nation as a whole, the nation as a whole, God's plans for the nation as a whole, and ultimately, in the future, national turning, all Israel will be saved. The Israel that is hardened, verse 25 of Romans 11, is the Israel that will be saved, Romans 11, 26. The Redeemer will come to who? Jacob. The church is not the new Jacob. This is the Jewish people that are rejecting the Messiah. And again, as we quoted earlier, but explicitly, Romans 11, 28, these people who are now enemies of the gospel for your sake, they're still loved. Who? The ones that are currently opposing the gospel now, that currently don't believe, the Jewish people who don't believe, they are still loved on account of the patriarchs, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. It has nothing to do with ethnic supremacy, or does God have two peoples on the earth today? You know, all these arguments that are raised, nice little soundbite catchphrases. Here's what it has to do with: the integrity of God. Can I trust God at his word? If the people to whom he made explicit promises can be replaced by someone else, or displaced, or now a new set of qualifications put on to receive the promises, then God can't be trusted. Then some other prophet or revelation could come saying that the church is now replaced by some other group, or it's now redefined to mean Muslims or something else. It makes God into a liar or a deceiver. It's that blatant. It's that blatant. Continuing here, Romans 10, 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. So there are these categories, Jew and Greek, but as far as salvation, all the same through the blood, through the cross. So, I mean, it's his, and then his language elsewhere, like if we get into 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22, Jews demand signs, Greek seeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Who are these people, Jews? They are a distinct category. And on and on. I mean, I'll just quote a sampling of verses. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. So he makes a distinction between the Jewish population as a whole, not believers, and the Gentile population as a whole, not believers, and the church of God, the ecclesia of Jew and Gentile together who believe in Jesus. He makes a distinction between that and this entity called the Jews, which people say in God's sight no longer exists. Of course we still exist in God's sight. All right, so let's do our last little test here, okay? Let us take Romans again, and let's go to what Paul says now about Gentiles. How about that? So I want to read a passage first, and then we're going to go through every single reference in Romans to the term Gentile slash nation. Romans 15:7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ, Messiah, accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Messiah has become a servant of the Jews, a servant of the circumcision, on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. Doesn't say canceled, does it? Confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So the Gentiles are not the Jews. The Gentiles are not Israel. The Gentiles are not the circumcision. You know, one passage in Philippians where Paul, in Philippians 4, where Paul could spiritually, metaphorically be saying, or the third chapter, excuse me, be spiritually or metaphorically saying that all believers are the circumcision, unless he's just talking about his team of Jewish believers as the real circumcision. But when he's talking about this people, the Jewish people that he calls the circumcision, they remain a distinct people in God's sight, separate from Gentile believers in Jesus and separate from the Gentile world. It's Paul's language. He's not ambiguous here. Moreover, so not only are the promises to the Jewish people, to the people of Israel, confirmed by the coming of Messiah into the world, but moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. Does that mean there are two peoples of God in the earth? That you argue it like that if you want. The fact is, it says, rejoice you Gentiles. So Gentiles are now worshiping the God of Israel along with his people Israel. So save Gentiles and save Israel, make up the ecclesia, make up the church, the messianic congregation. But Gentiles don't become Jews, Jews don't become Gentiles, and the church is not the spiritual Israel, and Gentile Christians are not the spiritual Israel. And physical Israel remains an entity in God's sight, which is why we exist, which is why we've been brought to the land, which is why the world hates us, which is why Satan wants to exterminate us, which is why every single Christian, in that sense, should stand with Israel, not endorse everything Israel does, but should stand with Israel because God brought the Jewish people back. Satan wants to wipe us out. Whose side should you be on? That may offend you. Number one, I'm convicted of it before God. Number two, I challenge you to go to God and his word and say, Lord, show me the truth. And I trust that you will follow his truth wherever it leads. Again, Romans 15:11, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. To him, the Gentiles will hope.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that HCY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita. Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I want to share a very important announcement with you at the end of this segment. So don't tune out. If you're getting close to the end, be sure to listen right to the very end, because you can be part of reaching Jewish people with the good news of the Messiah. The one thing as followers of Jesus we agree on, regardless of our views of Israel today or prophecy, we agree Messiah came for his Jewish people. The gospel's to the Jew first and also for the Greek. Everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, need Jesus, Yeshua. I want to give you an opportunity to help see that happen. More and more Jewish people coming to the Messiah. We'll talk to you about that in a moment. But first, let me finish up this study here and just ask these questions. When a Gentile comes to follow Jesus, is that person still a Gentile? Ephesians 4, don't live like the Gentiles, meaning don't live like the pagans, don't live like, and some manuscripts say other Gentiles. But is that person still called a Gentile, or have they now become a spiritual Jew or a spiritual Israelite? I have read comments that there is no more Jew and Gentile, that Jews in God's sight as promise, a promised nation or an elect nation, that's passé through the coming of Jesus into the world, who now fulfills himself the promises to Israel. So Israel saved. That's how the promises are fulfilled. Outside of that, there are no promises. In other words, God didn't promise to keep us. God didn't promise to regather us physically. God didn't promise to turn us at the end of the age. We're just like anybody else. And there's no such thing as a Gentile if you're a Christian. I've read those comments recently, even Bible teachers. And so we're demolishing the error just based on just going through what the Word says. I know it's not like exciting, like wow, and prophetic insights and the thing that makes a video go viral. But I'm out to see you healthy and thriving in God and grounded in the Word and for us to align ourselves with God. That's my big issue. All right, so we're going to go through every reference, as far as I can tell from my Greek search here, of the term of ethne, which can mean nation slash Gentile. Same as the Hebrew goy, can mean nation slash Gentile. Romans 1:5, through whom we have received, through Jesus, grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. So among all the Gentiles, among all the ethnos, ethne, among all the goyim, all the nations, slash Gentiles. Romans 1:13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. So even though they're believers, he's still referring to them as Gentiles, interestingly. Why? Because there's people of the nations. So Gentile can have a derogatory meaning like pagan, or it can just mean people of the nations. Romans 2:14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. Romans 2:24, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, because of disobedient Israel. All right, let's keep going. Romans 3:29, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. We saw that verse moments ago. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. So it's to Abraham. So he's the father of physical Israel. He's also the father of many nations, many Gentiles. And then 18, verse 18, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations slash Gentiles. Romans 9:24, we saw this a moment ago, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Romans 9:30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is a righteousness that is by faith. Romans 10:19, I ask again, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. So the Gentiles will make Israel jealous, in a negative sense here. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. You say, oh, okay, but Dr. Brown, none of those verses are addressing believers in Rome and calling them Gentiles. All the verses are talking about Gentiles in the world or the nations. And Paul does say Gentiles in the first chapter, but he never says to the Romans, I'm writing to Roman believers and calls them Gentiles. And the argument would be because once you are in Jesus, you are no longer a Gentile. That's part of a prior identity. You are now a new creation in Christ. The Gentile identity is gone. We're one in Jesus. And there's no Jewish identity either. Now, just think of the logic of this for a minute. There's no Jew or Gentile. But what does it also say in Galatians 3:28 and Colossians 3:11? There's no Jew or Gentile, and there's no male or female. May I ask you, pastor friend, church-going friend, do you have in your church building men's rooms and ladies' rooms, men's bathrooms and ladies' bathrooms? Do you still make that gender distinction? Oh, do you have men's meetings and women's meetings? Oh, you do? Oh, you still make that gender distinction. Maybe you've got a big Christian school with sports teams. Do you have boys' teams and girls? Why? Because, of course, there's still male and female. Of course. Do you have men in your church giving birth to babies? Do you have women impregnating men? No. Why? Because they're men and they're women. They're males and they're females. Paul is not saying these distinctions don't exist. And he gives specific teaching to husbands, to wives, to men, to women. And many of you would say in ministry that there are things men can do and women do different things. So we all agree there are male-female distinctions that still remain. In fact, that's one of the big battles of the society, to obliterate them. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying, in Jesus, we're equal. In Jesus, there's no slave or free, male, female, Jew or Greek. There's no caste system. There's no class system. But if you want to say, well, no, the categories no longer exist, well, then just be consistent and have gender-neutral bathrooms and don't have men's, women's, and women's meetings and have exact same release in everything in ministry and church life for male and female. Even those of you who say only men should be pastors, get rid of that because there's no male or female. And scrap your boys' teams and girls' teams. Everyone plays on the same teams, etc. And all the teachings in the Bible, husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands, scrap those. It's just everybody equal, everything the same. Everybody has the same roles. No, we're equal in Jesus in terms of both equally loved by God, equally bought by the blood of Jesus, equally sons and daughters of God. And no caste system, no class system, equal access to God. But Jews have their roles, Gentiles have their roles, men have their roles, women have their roles. That's reality, friends. But let's get back to Paul here, Romans 11. So I ask, did they, who, the Jewish people, stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so to make Israel envious. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world and their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Romans 11, 13. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Paul calls the Gentile Christians in Rome Gentiles. It's not derogatory. It's not negative. It is simply you believers from the nations. He uses the term. Don't ever say again that Christians in the New Testament are never called Gentiles. If you're a Gentile Christian, you're a Gentile. If you're a Jewish Christian, you're a Jew. If you're a male Christian, you're male. If you're a female Christian, you're a female. And we're all one in Jesus. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. It's explicit. It's the word. Romans 11, 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery. Who? You Gentile Christians, don't be unaware of this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel. Don't think, oh, God's done with them. And all the promises fulfilled in Jesus, now no national promises remain. That don't be ignorant, it'll lead to arrogance, because you'll think we are the new Israel. The very thing that's being preached from pulpits around the world today has been preached through centuries and ultimately has opened the door. I'm not saying if you hold to this theology, you're an anti-Semite. I'm saying through history, this has opened the door to anti-Semitic actions, words, deeds, Jew hatred in the church over the centuries, this wrong theology. And it's doing so again with others. Maybe not you, hopefully not you, but with others for sure. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel, who the ones that don't believe until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God moving around the world, hundreds of millions of Gentiles coming to faith on the heels of this, provoked by this, all Israel. The Israelites harden now, all Israel will be saved. Not the combined number of remnant of Jews through all the centuries. Very, very few commentaries hold to that today. Why? Because it's not exegetically sustainable for many reasons. There will be the end time turning. The ones who resist now will have their eyes graciously open, and Gentile Christians will play a key role in this. And all the verses we just read, Romans 15, 9, 10, 11, 12, the same thing. Romans 15, 16, he's called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles, you Gentile Christians, may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. 15:18, I'll venture to speak. I won't speak anything except what Christ has accomplished in me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. Romans 15:27, if the Gentiles have come to share, he's still writing to Gentile believers. If the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessings of the Jewish people, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. And then Romans 16:4, the churches of the Gentiles, he uses that term. And 16:26, the prophetic writings, this faith has now been known, made known to the Gentiles, the nations. All right, friends, we are on the front lines putting out critically important information now, not just to help the church understand Israel, but to reach Jewish people with the gospel. Our work is being used worldwide. It is now being used to equip those reaching out to Muslims worldwide, because Muslim apologists are taking the arguments of the rabbis against Jesus. We've already refuted them. So now those reaching the Muslims using our material. I just spoke earlier today to the largest master's program in the world, helping equip those doing Muslim evangelism to understand these Jewish principles. I'm urging every one of you to become a torchbearer today. We are on the front lines. We are putting out material that is changing the world, that is bringing Jewish people the faith in Jesus. As I speak, it's going out in Hebrew, in Russian, in Spanish, in English, in Portuguese, and other languages around the world being used. Let's stand together. This month, we're doing something special. Become a torchbearer. AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. Click Donate Monthly Support. Yes. I'm asking you to join us without shame, because it's an urgent hour. We're giving you 4 free books when you sign up, including 2 of the most important books you'll ever read in your life, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood and Christian Antisemitism. Go there right now. AskDrBrown.org. Donate monthly support. Let's reach Israel.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.